thank you so much for your time, Rolf, and I'm quite excited to have you on the show. I've been meaning to have you on because I think the whole VFX scene and the match move artists and myself just would love to hear about your story behind the creation of 3D Equalizer and the Science D Vision company. So if you're happy to would you be able to just tell us a bit about yourself and maybe your background and what your role is at Science D Vision?
Okay. It's a pretty good, difficult to think about where to start, actually. I think to understand the complete story behind it, you must understand I was born in 1968, and when I was a teenager around the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, there was some sort of home computer scene going on. And it is extremely different, it was extremely different to the situation you have today. There was no internet, and computers had no floppy disks or hard drives or whatever. It was a totally different situation. And many people in the scene at that time, they started to program, because that was more or less the only thing you could do with a computer at that time. And so that's how I came into the whole programming business, let's say. So I started at around 12 or so. And I met my partner at that time, and we were starting to work on Commodore hardware and so on, also C64 and VC20, so the predecessor to C64. So it's very long time ago. And at that time, we were mostly interested in game programming and stuff like that, but also computer graphics was on our interest, definitely. But the computers were not powerful enough to do something like this. So it took about a few more years until Amiga computer from Commodore came out. And that actually was the starting point for our career, let's say, because we started when it came out in 1987. We started to develop rendering, ray tracing, 3D animation programs and stuff like that. That was the most interesting stuff at that time, if you're working on Amiga computers. And at that time, we were building the foundation of our capabilities today. Because we learned so many things about 3D graphics and especially mathematical backgrounds and stuff like that. And it was very exciting because, for example, to render an animation at that time with such a low-powered computer like an Amiga, you would wait maybe 4 weeks or so for a 3D, for a 30 frame animation, low res animation of something. So it was crazy at that time. But nevertheless, we were quite interested in this field. And so in the beginning of the 90s, the computers became more powerful, and then for some reason we got the opportunity to develop CG commercials and also CG music videos for the techno scene in Germany then. And I founded a small company with a few friends of mine, here locally in Dortmund. And yeah, we were basically developing stuff like that, CG commercials, CG music videos and stuff like that. And the company progressed a little bit, and our customers started to ask if we could integrate CG animation or CG graphics into live action footage. And at that time, we realized that there was not a clever solution for this. There wasn't actually at that time. You could hire a motion control studio, for example, in Frankfurt for unbelievable money, let's say. But that was not an option for a small company like us. So we had to think about it and try to find other solutions. And at that time, I realized that there was no solution for this. And so I founded a new company with my old friend from the 80s, let's say, Uwe. And we spent, let's say, it was 1996. We spent the whole year 1996 to develop the first version of 3D Equalizer. And, well, the rest is history, let's say. I would have never imagined that we would be in the position like we are today, 25 years or so ago, more than 25 years, actually. Quite amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. So, yeah, how did you come up with the name, and what does it mean to you? What?
The name of the company or the name of the product?
Of the product, yeah, 3D Equalizer.
Actually, I don't know. Equalizer is just a cool name. It sounds cool, and it represents something to adjust something to each other, to equalize something, equalize CG graphics to live action footage or so. That's everything. Yeah. That's all behind it. Nothing special.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
We are a very small company, so we have to work very efficiently. I think it took us about 3 or 5 minutes or so to come up with the name. And so...
Right. Yeah. Amazing. So how difficult was it at that time to find like a team to join you to create that software, the coding and the infrastructure behind it? So because initially it was just you two, and then I guess you had to find a number of programmers or coders to join you. Was that easy at that time?
It was very easy because we didn't do it. We did not search for any programmers or so. We have, Uwe and I, we have developed 3D Equalizer to this day. We are the core developers of 3D Equalizer. Of course, now we have some support from other people here and there, but Uwe and I, we are the core developers of 3D Equalizer. And if you are familiar with the software development, then you know that getting more people involved in a software development project is not always a good idea, let's say. It is good to have a small team because there's always, you lose very much efficiency if you have a lot of people working on the same thing, let's say. So, that is also some of the reasons why our company structure is still quite small, because we are some... Yeah, efficiency is very important for us. We have we have been profitable right from the start, not 1996, but 1997 was actually the first year we came out with 3D Equalizer, and starting from that year, our company has been profitable. until today.
Of course, yeah.
So that was a very important point for us. And so it is necessary to
keep doing what you're doing, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. To manage our resources, our available resources very carefully. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
that's it. So yeah. to come to your original question, it was not necessary to find any people right. because we didn't have any intention to. It okay. was more or less necessary during the course of the company to find more people to support us in terms of sales and let's say office resources and something like that. That was much more important, and also to have contact to reseller companies around the world to make 3DE. Make it known to the public, let's say, known to the industry, known to the artists, and also to visual effects companies and so on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Just before I ask you a bit more about the company and the software, I'm just a bit curious about why or how you went into animation. So basically you started off with interest in coding at the time because that's what you could only do. So I'm just curious how you pivoted or found the interest to start that for initial company to do animation to service the local community at that time.
You mean while we were starting to develop 3D animation and rendering software in the 80s? It's that.
I was just curious about, because as someone that was interested in coding, I would have expected one to just continue coding or maybe like going to web design or going to something else. But I'm just curious how, you found. You pivoted
design.
Or you use those you use those skills into like the animation
okay.
and
yeah you know, as I said in the beginning or in the end of the 80s there was no internet
mm-hmm.
there were no web design or something like that and many people working with computers at that time were more or less isolated groups of people who were maybe working for themselves or, okay, you could post your stuff in magazines or something like that, but who cares? There was some sort of scene of some demo scene, let's say, and the initial starting point for us was there was a demo floating around in the Amiga network, let's say, of some little guy which was completely constructed out of spheres, and he was juggling some mirror spheres in a cycled animation. And this was a 3D rendered animation, a ray tracing demo at that time. And yeah, we thought, okay, these people have done this with Amiga hardware, so we can do this on our own as well. My partner Uwe is very interested and very skilled in mathematics, obviously, and he developed the first ray tracer for us, let's say. And my main interest comes more from the user interface standpoint. So my responsibility was at that time to develop a 3D modeling and animation software package, which was quite challenging for quite low, powerful machines like Amigas and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But but it was funny. In hindsight, it was clear to us. We had at that time, at the end of the 80s, we had a small rendering animation package ready on the Amiga, running on the Amiga, while other programs like, for example, Soft Image. Do you know what Soft Image is?
Yes, I used it.
Okay. You know, but sometimes so programs like Soft Image weren't available at that time, basically.
Yeah.
They came later, or maybe they have been developed at the same time in parallel, let's say. But from we were kind of unknown pioneers of 3D graphics at that time, in a very, very small and limited area, of course. Nobody knew us, but nevertheless, it was the fact. It was it's a fact. Yeah. And we learned a lot of our skills, which we are using today, during that time, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, fast forward, and you had a working software, 3D Equalizer. You had a name for it. So then, did you go back to the clients that initially demanded it, or also, how did you then end up convincing the studios at the time to use it?
Yeah, that's that was quite surprising to us, because we thought originally we had developed a 3D Equalizer because we couldn't afford these expensive motion control studios. And we thought, okay, some other, let's say, relatively small visual effects companies like us, they would be interested in 3D Equalizer. But actually, that was not the case. Nobody of the small companies were interested in 3D Equalizer, simply because they didn't have the jobs to do it. And they couldn't imagine that just with the software solution at that time, it could be possible to solve some match moving problems. No, the point was very simple. We went to some trade shows in 1996 to get some contacts to local resellers, and we found a local reseller in Germany, and he just established all the contacts to larger German visual effects houses. And from that point on, I think in the following year, in 1997, he made the largest profits of that year with 3D Equalizer. And just to put it into perspective, he was also selling, I think he was also selling Soft Image in Germany.
Right.
Not exclusively, but he was selling exclusively 3D Equalizer to German customers. And also he went to trade shows, I think ABC or IBC. I don't know how it's called in Amsterdam. There's I think IBC or so. And there, for example, he sold two copies of 3D Equalizer right away to MPC, for example, at that year, 1997. And the London community very much knew about 3D Equalizer back then. And one of the best marketing tools you can have is simply word of mouth. If you have a good product, and if other people say that this product is working well, then it's the best advertising you can do. And furthermore, in this year, in 1997, I was traveling. We had a sales agent in the US back then, and I was traveling through the US and visiting some clients at the time. And also for, I don't know how this happened, but we also got the opportunity to show 3D Equalizer to ILM at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were traveling to San Francisco, and we showed 3D to their match moving team at that time, and I think it were about maybe 10 people or so. And in hindsight, I know that they were preparing for the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, or something. I think it was the fourth part, the first new part of Star Wars after the original trilogy in the 70s, 80s. And we had a small demo of a girl walking towards the camera, turning her head a little bit around, and we tracked something to her head very easily. Today it's simple. Right. It took you just 100 frames or so, and at that time it took about maybe half an hour or so to track her head movement properly. And guys at ILM said at that time, Ingvi, okay, you can do this in half an hour. We would usually, it would usually take us 3 weeks or so to do this. Right. Because they had to do it by hand, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah. And so it was very easy for us to sell something like 3D Equalizer at that time. Because the demand was so great, and the save of time was so immense for these companies. So wasn't really difficult. That's the reason why we didn't have or didn't do much advertising or something like that. We went to a few trade shows for a few years, but then we skipped this as well, because it's such a waste of time and money and energy. And
of course.
I mean,
you guys still don't do much advertising. It's just pretty much I guess you don't really need to right now. So.
I don't know, actually. We are no marketing experts. We are software developers, let's say. We are technicians, no marketing people.
Yeah,
and so maybe it would be better for us to do some more advertising, but who cares?
Software speaks. I'm just curious about how you prioritize the tools over the interface, because my first experience loading up 3D Equalizer I was quite surprised, because the interface looked very minimalistic and quite basic. It looks like, compared to at the time, I think I was transitioning from like PF Track to 3D Equalizer, and PF Track seemed to be quite clean and quite it was obviously node based, and the interface was obviously quite different. But 3D Equalizer was very, very different and simple. So, but then, of course, that the tools in 3D Equalizer speak for themselves. They are amazing tools, and they do great. And the code and the software behind it is just amazing. So I'm just wondering if there was a decision on both your sides to just keep the interface really simple and just intuitive, and just focus on the quality of the code and the tools.
That's a difficult question. First of all, we do not know the competitive products. I have never seen PF Track or used it or something, or Synthive or whatever there is. it's a tough question.
Yeah.
Because the design or the state where we are now at with 3DE just evolved out of the 90s, you must understand.
Yeah.
When we started with the first version of 3DE, there was only one sequence and only one point group or so. I don't know if we were able, with the first version of 3DE, to track object point groups and cameras at the same time. I'm not 100% sure. then it evolved into having multiple sequences, multiple point groups with version 2 or version 3. And during the development, we received more and more user input, obviously, of course. And we always tried to integrate this into 3DE, and also it is our goal to make 3D as flexible as possible. So therefore, you have different editors you can attach into the interface and so on. So I don't think so that it's so that 3D's interface is so basic or so minimalistic. Maybe, okay, you can just open a window with no other content in it, just with the main window and no editors or so. But, well, even through the whole scripting thing, it's possible to extend the user interface greatly. For example, I don't know if you have recently or if you have already used the Rotomation editor. This is a whole scripted editor, the whole thing. And so I think that, that makes 3DE very powerful, because even users could do this. It's not that, that we are forced to do this, but users can extend the functionality of 3DE if there are if the user has some decent coding capabilities. And that's I think what is very important about 3DE, that it can be extended. And sure, the core functionality is important, of course.
How do you feel about playing such a major role in almost, I guess, almost every film that comes out? I mean, since the existence of 3D, I guess, obviously, of course, jumping over into the point where almost the big studios were using, and then the word of mouth was spreading. I guess since then, almost every film, or a lot of them at least, have been done through 3D Equalizer. So I'm just wondering how you feel about just playing such a major role.
Well, we earned it.
Of course.
Interesting question. I think, I guess we have no time to think about something like this. So we are always quite busy, and we always try to please the needs for our customers. For example, about 10, 15 years ago, we had to integrate stereoscopic tracking into 3DE because of, at that time, you know, little movie like Avatar or so, they came up with stereoscopic, with real stereoscopic cameras. And then we had to integrate features like this into it. And also what is very important is our investment in lens distortion, for example. That is some underestimated thing, which maybe competitors are not so good at, for whatever reason. I don't know why, because it is such an important thing to get your distortion right in a match moving project. If you fuck this up, then you have a big problem. You have a big problem, obviously. And I can tell you, we have been working on a new version of 3D Equalizer during the last 1.5 years or so. And we hope that we would have been released it before this interview, but unfortunately we didn't make it. But it will only take a few more weeks that the software is ready and so on. But we are still working on documentation and tutorials and something like that. And we have added another quite extensive distortion update to this version because of some problems which turn out of some new lenses who have been used in the industry, which turned out to be some quite troublesome. And so we were forced to update 3DE in order to make it possible to work with such lenses. That is, I think, our main thing. We are still at the forefront of visual effects production, and we are in contact with our long-time clients, bigger clients, of course, mm-hmm. who suffer from something, from these problems. And so that is the most important work we do, not inventing or thinking about some problems, some theoretical problems or so, which could be solved. Mm-hmm. But we are listening to people. We are listening to the clients, and we try to mm-hmm. Address real problems, which are... troubling the industry, for example, lens distortion or something like stereoscopic or rotomation. Object tracking is, of course, still a problem. It is nice to know that we are still being used like crazy in the industry. And as I said before, when we started the whole thing, we thought maybe, have I told this? I don't know. When we started the business, we were thinking about maybe, okay, it will take 5 years or so, then there will be competitors which are much better than we are and so on, but it hasn't happened today. Mm-hmm. We have seen a lot of competitors come and go, and so we are still here.
Of course. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, it's great. Yeah, so I'm just wondering what you think the future for match movement and motion tracking within 3D equalizer is. Just basically, of course, considering the computational improvement of like our machines and artificial intelligence, do you think our current methodology of match movement or motion tracking will be eventually be reduced with more maybe AI computed solving?
Sure, that will happen sooner or later.
Right.
Okay. It's difficult to say when it will happen, and but it's exactly as you say, artificial intelligence is one of the most important developments of the last maybe 10 years or so, and it will be used in scary fashion in the future in many businesses, and the visual effects or 3D industry will be no exception. When it will be available in 3DE or in match moving software in general, it's hard to say. And as I said, I cannot much talk about our future plans, of course.
Of course.
It is interesting, it will definitely be available sooner or later.
Okay.
In which form? If there will be completely automatic match moving programs where, let's say, a compositor just imports a shot and maybe marks some areas of the footage with some objects who should be tracked in tracked in 3D, and also camera that the camera should be tracked in this whole shot, for example. In which form this will be available in the future, I cannot tell. maybe also what could happen is what could happen is that some features of 3D tracking softwares will be improved by artificial intelligence. For example, you could think about the simple 2D tracking process, that this one could be improved by artificial intelligence, so that you just hit on a feature regardless from what it is, even corners. I mean, you know by yourself that often it is very interesting to track some certain corners of objects, but unfortunately it's hard to track them if you have some background shifting around and so on. But such situations could be improved by artificial intelligence, for example. Mm-hmm. And until a point where you have some magic black box solution, which in which you just feed in a shot, and on the other side there comes out a 3D model and animated perfectly tracked 3D camera and also perfectly tracked 3D objects.
Yeah.
Probably this will happen someday, but not in the near future, I think.
Okay. All right. So I guess we still have our jobs then for some time as much more artists for now.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, great. So yeah, I'm curious to know which other industries other than the VFX industry find 3D as a valuable tool and what their common use cases might be.
You mean for 3D Equalizer?
Yeah, I guess outside of VFX, do you have any other clients in the different industries that possibly use it for something other than animation and VFX?
Yes, we have actually. Quite unspectacular companies. They analyze some, there are companies who analyze accidents, car accidents and stuff like that. And they have to reconstruct locations and something like that. And surprisingly, they do this with 3D Equalizer. What exactly they do with it, I don't know. I think they have to analyze dash cam videos of cars right before an accident or something. And I think that they analyze this kind of footage with 3D. But aside from that, we do not have any other, let's say, other clients, no military stuff or something. We have been in touch, or let's say some large US military companies have been in touch with us years ago for some reason. I don't know exactly, but our country's history forbids a little bit that we work for some military stuff. So we for ourselves didn't want to use in this industry. So we declined.
Of course, yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Do you find that bringing up new tools okay, I've got two questions. Is it easier now to bring new tools into 3D Equalizer compared to when you first started? Because I guess when you first started, it might have been much more tricky to decide or to know which tools or which features to start off with. Or as well as to complement each other in order to make a solve. So I guess that it must have been much difficult at the beginning, and I guess it's easier now to bring up tools because you already have the base. Would that be the case?
It is easier now to integrate new tools because the foundation of 3DE, of 3D Equalizer version 4, is better than the predecessors, because the predecessors were developed on SGI platform, Silicon Graphics platform, and this was quite a bad decision at the starting time, so back in the 90s, and it was like pulling some concrete blocks behind us all the time. And then around 2007 or so, we decided we had to rebuild 3DE completely from scratch. And that's actually what 3DE version 4 now is. Mm-hmm. And the internal structure of 3DE 4 is quite good, so that it can be easily extended with new features. And also now the Python scripting interface makes it so easy to extend its functionality. And also, if, for example, some clients have some problems with this and that or so, we very often can solve these problems just through scripting. And also, that is very, very powerful and makes it very easy to extend 3DE. As I said, for example, something like the Rotomation Editor has been scripted, I don't know, maybe 98% or so. It's just a script. There are a few core functions which are C++, but the most part is just scripted. And this makes it very easy to extend functionality. But also what you questioned, of course, we have much more, much deeper contact to the actual industry as in the beginning. In the beginning, we had not many clients. And so it was, we had to learn a lot. But now we are quite experienced in this field. So it makes things much easier for us, of course. So,
I'm not sure if my next question is relevant. I think we may have touched on a bit of it, but I was wondering why you think 3DE became the industry standard for the film industry.
I can only speculate. One reason certainly was that we were the first real commercial 3D tracking software at that time. And also we were the first software or match moving software which provided survey free calculation. There were a few tools out there before 3DE, but they were all based survey based, and this often makes it very difficult to finish a job, of course, and having the ability to work survey free was one key thing of 3DE. And also, after we released 3D Equalizer, it took, I'm not quite sure how many years, but it took a few years before the first real competitor was released. I guess it was Maya Live. I don't know exactly. So many years ago. So we had some head start, let's say. And in the first 3-4 years, we were able to win a lot of high-end customers. As I said, MPC bought the first two licenses in 1997, for example. And other big companies did that as well at that time. And another reason, I think, is that we also concentrated on the enterprise visual effects market. We were always trying to solve tough problems, like, for example, stuff like lens freezing in complex anamorphic cameras, for example, was quite a nasty problem. Also, lens distortion in anamorphic cameras is also a very, very difficult problem. And we spent a lot of time and effort to get this right. And I think we have done a good job. And these kind of features, for example, are important for large film productions. And as I said, I don't know, I have no idea what the competitors are doing, but I guess they are not so good in some of these fields. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, what would you say your best wins are since embarking on this journey?
Our best wins? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, difficult question. I think, do you know that we won an Academy Award for 3D Equalizer? We won an Academy Award for the Equalizer maybe 20 years ago or so. That was quite good for us, of course, because it was very easy to do some marketing with this. And we got a lot of attention at that time. But on the other hand, at that time, we got this Academy Award for 3DE because at that time, beginning of the century. At that time, there were over 100 movie productions already using or had already used 3DE for their work. And that was one of the reasons because we received the Academy Award. And at that time, for example, the Lord of the Rings trilogy came in cinema, and they... Weta, for example, used 3DE exclusively for their project at that time, which was great, of course, for us. And maybe the Academy Award. But I have no... Well, we do not sit in the evening and talk to each other and asking such questions to us. It's... it has become the regular thing for us to realize that
of course,
3D has been used in The Lord of the Rings or in Avatar or in this and that and Harry Potter franchise, whatever, in anything. Actually, it is true if you go to the cinema and watch some movie, doesn't matter, if there's a little bit visual effects in it, then with a very high probability 3DE has been used in it. And also this is true for TV shows you can watch on the regular streaming networks, let's say. So it is what it is.
So what keeps you going after all these years, just keeping on continuing to churn up updates and new tools and innovating? It's just what keeps you going?
I don't know. it's part of us, of course, sure. But also we have some responsibility for our customers. We have many customers, long-time customers, who have invested a lot of money in our product, and they are relying on 3DE that they can do their jobs with it in the future as well. For example, now it was quite important to get out some new lens distortion update, because there are new lenses out there which are difficult, let's say. That is some sort of service we do to our existing customers. And also, I still think that we should add more features in terms of object tracking, because it is still a difficult thing. I was talking to some old friends some time ago, and they said camera tracking is not a problem anymore. They push through hundreds, thousands of shots each year, and that is not an issue. The biggest issues today are object tracks, tracking of characters, rotomation, and stuff like that. That is something we have to, probably we still have to improve in 3DE. And so, we care about the clients, of course, but also we care about the artists. We don't want our artists or the artists using who are using 3D Equalizer to suffer unnecessarily. So I think that's one of the things which keeps us working in the field.
I mean, with rigid objects, I think it does it really well. I mean, for me, at least, I find I always get the solution I want with object tracking, or at least get like a 90% good solve to then take it into Maya to do the extra counter animation or corrections. But for rigid objects, I think it works great. Just rotomation, that is something I wouldn't have imagined that to be an option or a feature to aid us in 3D Equalizer, because you have people moving in. I would have expected that to be a manual job with using a rig, of course. So, but then again, of course, sometimes we use the object tracking tools to get a base to then help the rotomation artist in Maya. So I guess if you guys have more solutions, then of course we would accept, we would welcome them for sure. What should the VFX industry look forward to from your team?
Our team? Oh, I can't talk
from
about
you,
this.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well Rob, I think I've asked you pretty much quite a lot, and you've been very kind and great with your responses, and I think myself and the audiences and the whole VFX industry will be quite grateful to listen and watch this and to learn more about how it all started and how you keep innovating and keep bringing new tools to the whole community. So on behalf of everyone, I'm very grateful for your time, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks a lot for inviting me to your show.